Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Our guest today will talk about bringing a new dog into your family. George Malera, certified professional dog trainer, will be with us to talk about training that new dog or maybe helping the dog you've had for a long time. You'll be able to join in with that. I want to start, though, by talking about our fall member drive. Your support is really the foundation of funding for our WPR programs. It's the largest piece, and it's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions, and that's why Mike Crane's with me, to encourage you to make your gift of support for the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mike, welcome. How are we doing?
Well, we had a great hour last hour. We heard from 38 new and returning members. So thank you to everybody for those gifts. And how are we doing should be really good this hour, Larry, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. It's a generous match from current members, including a member in McFarland, and it means that they will match every dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio so you can double your support for the programs you love. Just give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network is committed to quality. That's why we've been able to be around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Yeah, your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. So make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the nice things about making a voluntary donation to WPR is you decide how much to give. It really is up to you. WPR is listener supported, and that means the more donors we have, the more secure our funding and our programs. So how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give.
Many first-time donors give $100 or maybe $10 a month, but as Mike says, you decide the amount that's right for you. Since contributing is your choice, and because WPR is something you value, you'll find that donating feels really good. Find out right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount, and you could win $1,000 to buy a bike or accessories. What would you buy?
I would buy one of those tandem bike attachments. My three-year-old, he'd love it if he could just bike right behind me instead.
A brand new saddlebag? Mine is so worn out.
Don't tell my other bike, but I would definitely upgrade to something newer.
One lucky winner will receive a $1,000 gift card for Wheel and Sprocket to spend on their new bike or cycling gear. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find out all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter. So make your gift of any amount right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Well, I'm really looking forward to learning more about bringing a new dog into the house. That'll be coming up in just a bit. But supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time before we get to that. So all we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's exciting. We have a dollar-for-dollar match. It's just started this hour. There's room for your gift to be matched because it'll go up to $5,000. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $1,000 gift to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. No contribution is necessary. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, of course, sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
So if you're not a sustainer, how about becoming one right now? And then you'll have that automatic entry. And it's really easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the Ideas Network that you love.
Oh, here's some nice things, Mike. Brittany from McFarland says, I'm giving today because I realize that most of my conversations start with, I was listening to Larry Mueller. Well, thank you for that, Brittany. Sally says, Larry, you're so cool. I don't know if my daughter would agree with that. But she says, I always learn something awesome from your show. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now. And Mike, you'll come back and be with us again?
Oh, you bet. And don't forget, the dollar-for-dollar match is in effect.
That's right. Well, we're going to turn our attention to George Malara, a certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. George has trained dogs for over 20 years. Maybe you have a new dog. What behaviors are you concerned about? Love to have you part of the conversation. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And George Malara, welcome to the show.
Larry, thank you for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back. I know many people have added, or maybe they're thinking about adding a dog to their family this year. What should you consider before getting a dog?
You know, with COVID, I would say that the most important thing is knowing that you're going to have to go back to work eventually, right? Now, when we talk about just adopting a dog at a normal time in life, one of the first things I recommend to everybody is to have a trainer lined up. So many times I hand my business card to somebody with a little puppy, and they say, no, we got this. This is great. And then I get a call 9 months later, and there's behavior problems, and there's other issues that come up that could have been easily prevented by just doing some training when the puppy was very young.
So get a trainer or get a line on a trainer before you go ahead and do this. That makes good sense to me. I'm thinking about a dog. The dogs have such different personalities. How do you find a dog with a personality that fits with your family?
You know, that's one of the things that I offer to my clients, and it happens so rarely because I don't think people are aware that this is an option for them, is to hire a trainer to help you find a dog. So many trainers like myself work alongside wonderful rescue groups. And what I do with my clients that are looking or thinking about getting a dog is I sit down with them and I meet the family, I meet the children. And if they give me carte blanche, it's like I'm a personal shopper. I get to go out and present them with dogs that I think will be a wonderful match for their family. Because a lot of times people go into adopting a dog and they adopt based on aesthetics. Do they like how the dog looks? And that could be great and all, but what if your family isn't ready for a highly intelligent border collie mix or a dog that, you know, requires a lot of, attention? And making sure that you have somebody in your corner that can help you make the right choice can set you up for success much, much further down the road.
Yeah, I have a really good friend who adopted an older dog. It's really turned out very, very well. I love the dog, Lila. I love you.
I love that for the reason that, puppies are such a huge task to take on because of all the needs that they have and all the developmental things that they go through. Sometimes adopting a dog at around 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years old, the dog comes knowing some obedience commands, knowing how to be. The dog is house trained, and the dog already has been socialized. So don't overlook those older dogs, because they are beautiful and wonderful as well.
Well, you mentioned younger dogs, and Chris in Black Creek has a question for you. Chris, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Mr. Mueller, and to your guest. Crystalsforkids.org, you know, I always say that, and universemap.org, but as a trainer for 4 years, yes, and you as a trainer as well, I discovered a method to potty train 10 Afghan puppies in 3 weeks by accident. So I you know, when their eyes first opened, I was raising the puppies for the bitch and the bastard and the owners of each. And so I turned my back and make their slop dishes with their vitamins in it and all that. I go back in the room, and one of them did a poo-poo. So I would point at the poo-poo, who did that? And the guilty one would show itself. So I'd take the poop and the puppy out the little door, and in 3 weeks I had all 10 puppies potty trained. And these dogs were so well trained, George, that I had them sitting in a line catching a treat.
That's great.
And the real last thing, not to take your job away from you, George, but people that are even training their own dogs should never say the command twice. If they don't respond, get after them. Then they'll respond the next time you say it one time.
What do you think of that, George? Do you agree or not?
You know, when it comes to repeating commands, my whole philosophy on it is making sure that, one, the dog has really clear understanding of any behavior before applying a label to it. We often will start barking orders at a dog and say, sit, down, stay, come. And, you know, I turn to the people and I say, that's a German Shepherd, sprechen Sie Deutsch. And the whole idea is that we have to make sure the dog has a really good understanding of a behavior before we apply a label to it. And when it comes to house training, I love these three tips that I give everybody that's house training a puppy. Number one, your mantra is, when in doubt, take them out. Number two is, when you take your puppy outside, hold your applause until your puppy's finished. So many times we start to praise the dog because they're eliminating outside, which is what we want. We get happy and we start to praise the puppy, but the puppy might not actually be finished eliminating. So, in fact, we're interrupting them. And then when they come inside, they say, mind if I finish up on the rug? And the last one is make sure you don't ever reprimand the puppy for eliminating in the home. Remember, house training is very much like New York City real estate. Location, location, location. We're not mad that they eliminated. We're mad at where they eliminated. So making sure that you give your pups plenty of time to go outside on a regular basis, because their digestive tract is moving so quickly that they just need a lot of opportunities to eliminate outside. So those are my three top favorite house training tips that I love to give people, is just making sure that we don't punish them for when they go inside, because then you'll have a dog that's worried about going to the bathroom. And then they start having little secret pee and poop spots throughout your home. And then it gets even more and more frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating. George Malera, our guest today, certified professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison, our guest today to talk about your dog's behavior and dealing with it. I tell you what, good to have him along. Good to have Mike Crane with us, too. During our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552. And Mike, is our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect?
It sure is, and it's a good reason to take action right now. We've had seven people so far who have taken advantage of this match, essentially doubling their contributions. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match right now and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's election season, and Wisconsin Public Radio is your place for candidate interviews and debates. You count on WPR for in-depth access to the conventions, to the debates, national and statewide, as well as the daily election news.
And this coverage helps you make informed citizens' decisions. Help pay for this important public service by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's something to think about. When you give today, you could become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, maybe $10 or $15 a month, that automatically comes out of your bank account or your credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
And that means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, day out, year in and year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs you love. Align Energy is partnering with us to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every dollar raised through food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and WPR programs with your gift. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during this fall member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
That's right. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. $1,100 raised toward that $5,000 match. So there's room for you to double your gift thanks to a member in McFarland and other current members. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $200, into $400. And that's, you get the idea. So take advantage of the match and double your support for WPR programs right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, so now make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of. Get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect. We have just under $4,000 left to raise, plus your dollars. That'll end up totally adding up to $10,000 if we get there. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
This drive, you can provide hunger relief in your area. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Alion Energy is partnering with us, and they'll match every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts, up to 15,000 meals. Join in with your contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts already, thank you. But how about making today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month? You might think of something like Dale in Milwaukee says, more, more, more. I can't get enough Larry Mueller. But seriously, I'm chipping in extra because I love the show. And Marion Edgerton says, thank you all for the incredibly helpful topics. I rely on you.
Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. taking a look at bringing home a new dog today, or maybe dealing with the one you've had for a long time. With our guest today, George Malera, certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Lots of callers online. I think we'll go right back to the phones and to Mo in Milwaukee. Hi, Mo. Thank you for calling.
Thanks so much. I have a 12-year-old male who had his eye removed this spring, and he's doing okay health-wise, but his behavior has changed unbelievably. He follows me around constantly. He barks constantly. He is on a lot of medication for some other health issues, so he's gained a lot of weight. So I don't know what to do with it. Sometimes he wants to go out like frantically, but it has nothing to do with elimination, or other times he will not go out under any circumstance. Like he's afraid. I don't know what to do.
Well, that's a tough one, George.
It sure is. You know, a lot of times when our beloved pups get older, you know, dementia can be a real problem in terms of making sure that they're healthy and comfortable. But there's a lot that can be done in terms of helping them feel better and feel safer in the home. Part of the behavior of like following you around, and paying attention to little details, like if you have a sliding door and it opens from left to right, pay attention to if your dog is going to the wrong side of the door. Same thing with regular doors that open, you know, sideways, you know, making sure that you're paying attention to what his cognitive health is like and looking at and seeing if there are other places where he seems just a little bit off mentally, which can give you answers in terms of, is this more a cognitive behavior, or is this sort of fallout from his health issues? One of the other things that I like doing for older dogs is keeping their brains healthy and active, very similarly to how doctors tell humans, you know, how do you stave off Alzheimer's? Do Sudoku, learn a language, brush your teeth with the non-dominant hand. Playing games for dogs would look like, instead of feeding your pup out of a bowl, what you can do is set up dishes around the house in little spots, you know, next to the couch, so that your pup has to use his little sniffer to go find these treats. It's going to help him just sort of have something to do with his time instead of pacing or following you around.
George, I wanted to bring up here, he lost an eye. I mean, he had an eye removed. I got to believe that suddenly you have only one eye. It may not be a question of mental, you know, losing his mental faculties as much as sort of navigating around with one eye.
Right. And that's, you know, if a dog, I get more worried if a dog has olfactory problems than I do visual problems. I've trained a lot of blind dogs, and yeah, they have a tough time navigating the home, and there's a lot of stuff you can do to help them navigate a home. And that could very well be part of the issue, is that, you know, he suffered an extreme trauma to his eye and his eye was removed. And in those cases, you know, making sure that there's ample space, depending on the size of your dog, ample space in corridors throughout your home so that he can safely navigate. Obviously, you know, now wouldn't be the time to rearrange your furniture. You know, this would be a time to make sure everything stays as steady and as constant as possible. But yeah, losing the eye can definitely affect, you know, his depth perception and other things. But making the best of that, you know, giving him things to do to help him feel better about navigating your home, which is why I said, like, leaving treats and stuff throughout the house that he can just sort of find, like a little treasure hunt, might help him feel more confident in not following you around and moving around.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thanks, Mo, for calling. Good luck. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Mo. Good luck.
Susan in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi, guys. I have a 2-year-old Australian Shepherd, and we live on a farm, but she is not very socialized at all, purely because of our location. So when new folks come, if they reach toward her, she wants to bite.
Does she bite?
She does.
Oh. And how,
not
how,
always
how
right away.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not always right away, but when one of our adult children was home about a month ago, she was laying on her back wanting a belly rub from our daughter, and so she started to rub her belly, and then she nipped her and drew blood.
That's
so good. A couple things that I would mention, when it comes to socialization, it's about quality, not quantity. The other part of this is, you know, in terms of quality versus quantity, it's not about having 100 people in your home so that they can, you know, learn to handle her and help her feel better. I would prefer if, like, only a handful of people came over but did correct strategies to help her feel better. One of the games I like to play with dogs that are fearful of people, and the first thing I'm going to mention is, it's like the old wives' tale. People always extend their hand to a dog that's fearful or frightened to allow them to sniff. And that could be really detrimental because the dog might view that as a threat and bite. So what I like to do is I deliver several treats to the dog, maybe 4, 5, 6 treats. And then I take one of the last treats and I toss it away from the dog. So the dog has to track the treat that fell on the floor and go retrieve it and get it. At that point, if that dog that is fearful wants more food, they have to approach me again, which is the behavior we want to reward. And when it comes to, does that make sense?
Yes, and we've done some of that with not a lot of luck.
Okay. Now, the next thing I'd like to teach you is, when we talk about handling or petting, so that was odd that your daughter was petting her and your pup and she was just rubbing her belly and then she whipped around and bit her. One of the things that I also like to do, regardless of the age of dog, is to make sure to rule out anything medical. I'm wondering if she has any pain in her abdomen or if it's genuinely that she's just didn't want to be touched anymore. So there's a lot more to it than just figuring out whether or not she likes to be handled. But what I do teach is also a gotcha game where you say, got your foot, and then you grab her foot and you give her a treat. And you do this with all of her body parts to start desensitizing her to being handled. Now, I wouldn't recommend a stranger handling your dog, but when it comes to family members and people that are in your dog's immediate family, for them to be safe and be around her, it's important that we use food to teach her to feel better about being around people.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Susan, good luck. Thank you so much for calling.
Good luck, Susan. Thank you for your call.
Darlene in Lincoln County, your turn. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have 4 dogs. 2 of them are going to be 10 years old, and the 2... They're each brother and sister sets. They're 6 now. I've had them for 5.5 years. They're a Great Pyrenees mix. What the mix is what they look like. they're brindle. And I even did a DNA, and it just says Mountain Sporting Hound and Terrier. Now, my question is, the younger girl, ever since I brought her home along with her brother, they're all rescues. That day, she started an attack on her brother, a fight. And through these 5 years I've had her, periodically, every 3 months or less, she will laser focus on one of the others and start an attack. It could be one of the older ones. It could be her brother. Doesn't make any difference. Once I even had 21 stitches put in my hand, not from her biting me, but from my getting in the way to stop it. I've got her on a Baskerville muzzle now, and she doesn't bite people. She just tends to suddenly decide she wants to go and charge after one of the other dogs. What can I do to break her?
So one of the first thing I recommend for anyone that has a multiple dog household, whether the dogs are getting along or not getting along, is a wonderful book by the great Patricia McConnell and Karen London called Feeling Outnumbered, How to Manage and Enjoy Your Multiple Dog Household. Now, this book gives you the ins and outs of how we should be treating dogs in a multiple dog household. Really, really great read. Now, the other bit of advice that I give people with a multiple dog household is making sure that we're paying attention. And I tell people to listen with their eyes, because a lot of the signals that dogs give in general are really subtle body language cues. And when those go unseen or unnoticed, rather, we only know when there's a giant fight or a growl or an air snap. And those moments we pay attention to because they're audible. We can hear them. So by listening with our eyes, we want to pay attention to any situations where, let's say, the dogs steal a bone from a specific dog, and they just take the bone, and they take the bone time and time again, and then the dog's like, I've had enough of this, and then they defend their bone, and then they get into a scrap or a scuffle. So paying attention to the language of the dogs within your household, and on top of that, doing some pretty intensive training. And when I say intensive training, even just basic obedience will sort of set the guidelines for how these dogs should be behaving. Because left to their own, you know, faculties, they're going to just be dogs. And they're, and you know, to solve arguments and disagreements, they vocalize and they use their mouths to sort of correct and, you know, and administer corrections, the older dogs to the younger dogs, or vice versa. So this younger 6-year-old female that's sort of laser targeting different dogs in your household, I'd pay close attention to see if the reason she's retaliating is over a resource. And a resource could virtually mean anything. It could be a location, it could be a human, it could be food. So when we're talking about one dog that's sort of singling out certain dogs, I'd look more towards the other dog's behaviors towards her, and really looking at it through a really, you know, through a microscope to really pay attention to see if the other dogs are eliciting this response, or if it's actually, if it's genuinely her just sort of correcting the other dogs.
Very good advice. Thanks, Judy, for calling. Appreciate it. And you're right, Patricia McConnell's book on this is really, really good. You should take a look at it for sure, Darlene. Thank you again for calling. Well, this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mealer, Mike Crane joins me, and your support is an essential piece of the funding for The Larry Mealer Show and all the programs you enjoy on WPR. Listener support's the largest source of funding for our programs, and this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mike, is our match still in effect?
It is. We haven't gotten to that $5,000 yet, but we have, thanks to 18 donors, raised $2,100 plus. So if you'd like to get in and double your donation, that would be terrific. Do it right now. It's a great time because current members, including member in McFarland, will double every dollar you give. To inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio right now. So double your impact at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've heard some great questions today from our listeners, and George Malera, I think, is doing a great job of helping people so their dog doesn't bite or so that it is more comfortable in its home. I think this is a benefit to listeners. How is your life enriched by shows like this? How is it unique to public radio? WPR is listener supporter. That means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Well, and Larry, you know, you don't need to even want a dog to have gotten some great information already. Just the idea of not sticking your hand out to have a dog.
Yeah.
You know, it occurred to me, wait, dogs have great senses of smell. They don't need me to move closer to them, right? And just great information for all of us. And it's an example of the way that you get more than you pay for with WPR. Just such great advice. And it's one place where getting more is true every day. So how about considering a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love?
Hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
It makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support during our fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
So speaking of $10 a month, a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to 33 cents a day if you make that contribution. What a great value.
Yeah, that's a great value. Make a gift, $10 a month right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you're going to get a lot in return.
That's
sure.
Right, and our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, Larry. We've got just about $3,000 still to raise, so there's room for your gift to be matched. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you to win $1,000 to spend on bikes or cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, of course, you're automatically entered.
So if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's really easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's something that at an earlier date, Melanie from Elkhorn did, and she says, my entire family now listens to WPR. It's pretty fabulous to have a station that everyone can tolerate. And Natalie from Janesville says, I start every day with WPR. I hear stories that make me laugh, stories that make me cry, and stories that spark curiosity.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Talking about training your dog on the show today, whether it be a brand new dog or a dog you've had around for a long, long time. George Malera, our guest, certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Great to have him along. Join in at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Lou in Ashland has a question for you, George. So let's go to Lou. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, hey, good mid-afternoon, everyone. I have a six-year-old flat coat retriever that we have had since about a year. And she feels that it is her job to go out and yell at the dogs in the neighboring yards to the left of us and to the right of us. And her yard is fenced in, which means she has full run of her yard, but she has to go over and yell at the dogs that are trying to just lounge about in their yard or do their business. And she is like no other dog. I've had animals all my life, and I have never had a dog like Stella. So, and I'm trying to be a good neighbor, you know, a good dog owner. And that's why I fenced in the yard, because she had a habit of getting out and just, on the bout in the neighborhood and going in other people's yards. So what can I do? Because she's very stubborn, doesn't want to listen. Do I use treats, bribery? What do I do?
Stella, oh, right. Stella, Stella. Go ahead. Well, go ahead, George. Sorry.
So, Lou, what we're talking about here is something, rehearsal of behavior, right? So someone can, a human can rehearse two behaviors, right? Let's say practicing the cello or stealing cars. So one behavior is favorable, the other one is not. Now, let's say the cellist breaks their hand and they can't practice their cello for, say, 6 months to a year. Well, that cello player is going to be behind the curve when they come back through rehab and whatever else. And the same thing for somebody that steals cars. They get caught, they go to jail, and the technology for protecting cars and alarm systems continue to evolve. So when we take this analogy and we bring it into dog training, it's the idea that, you know, when we do have a backyard for the dog, it's so nice to be able to open the door and just let our dog go out. So, but what happens here is that Stella is rehearsing the behavior of, you know, patrolling her perimeter and letting anybody know that there's a squirrel, you know, perimeter breach and a dog in the other yard. So it's very important that you're out there as her, you know, pet parent, and not allowing her to rehearse these naughty behaviors. So what that will look like is, when you let Stella out into the yard, you will make sure you're out there monitoring her. If she immediately starts to bark, you are to go collect her and bring her inside. Now, in that same breath, if you're outside and she notices your neighbor's dog but doesn't bark, you're going to reward her. And this is not a bribe. You're telling her that being quiet and noticing the dog is totally okay. So it's about giving Stella the right information about what's happening in her yard. The other things that I like to do when tackling any behavioral issue is that, you know, when we tackle a behavior issue, it's multifaceted. So I like to go ahead and teach a great recall. But the recall is not to take the place of her barking. So what people do sometimes is the dog will bark at the fence, and then we just instill a great recall. So we call Stella, Stella, and she comes running to us, and we give her a treat. But you are also rewarding the fact that she was barking at the fence to begin with. So we want to make sure that when she does the naughty behavior, you're administering some sort of timeout where you're removing her from being able to hang out by putting her in the house, but also rewarding her when she doesn't bark at the dogs. So what that would I would recommend, you know, having her on a nice long line where you can you can reel her in if you need to and deliver that timeout. What'll start to happen over time is that she's going to go outside and say, well, when I bark, I get brought inside 100% of the time. I'm going to omit that from my vocabulary, and I'm going to be quiet. And that's your window and your doorway to start delivering rewards for her being quiet in the yard. But it's so important that, I was a latchkey kid, and boy, did I get into some trouble. So making sure that she doesn't have the opportunity to rehearse those naughty behaviors is really up to you. And making sure that you're giving her feedback, good or bad, to let her know what is right and what is wrong.
Lou, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Judy in Mercer, it's your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Springer Spaniel that's 4 years old, and, you know, he's well-trained. He listens to what you have to say. But when people come over, the Federal Express guy or the postman, he actually jumps in their truck. He gets so excited, he's out of control. And it's just like he hears a car go by on the road, and he's just got to get outside there, and he's got to bark, and he's just... I don't know if it's anxiety or, you know, he's not socialized a lot because we live pretty isolated. But, you know, people come over and it's just embarrassing that you can't control him. I get out of bed in the morning and it's like he's never seen me in 5 years. And he's just jumping all over and he's barking and, you know, he just wants all your attention. So what can I do to stop that?
Great question. So when we're talking about a dog that struggles with impulse control or arousal, what I like to do is implement arousal into my training. For example, what I'll do is, so you said he's got a lot of commands that he knows well. What I would do is work on those commands that require him to have some focus, and then you take a break from that and you play with him and causing what I call synthetic arousal. So I'll play tug with him and I'll rough him up and lather him up and really play with him, getting him really, really excited. And then I go right back to some sort of focus work, a downstay, a leave it, something where he has to flex impulse control while he's aroused. So he's learning how to control his arousal. I don't care if a dog gets aroused. I just expect them to listen and be obedient when they're aroused. So by introducing play in between moments of training with focus, your dog is going to start to learn that regardless of his emotional status, that he has to show that impulse control.
Good luck, Judy. Yeah, good luck.
Good luck, Judy.
Thank you so much for calling. Chris in Mineral Point, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We have a 6-month-old hound, and we can't get her to stop peeing in her doghouse. We originally thought it had to do with dominance. It's obvious it's not dominance. We decreased the size of her doghouse so she could barely fit into it. She still peed. We tried the whole food in her doghouse thing because, you know, they don't want to pee where they're eating. That also did not work. Do you have any other suggestions?
You know, it's generally all those things are true and correct. But depending, and I'm sorry, did you say she was 6 weeks old or 6 months old?
6 months.
6 months old. So difficulty in house training, and again, going back to what I said previously, is ruling out anything medical. That's odd that she, with these tips and tricks, that she hasn't become house trained. And I'm assuming you're taking her out regularly to use the bathroom. So there's two possibilities here. Too much access to water. So if she's, you know, if she's drinking all day, she's going to have to pee all day. And the second one is more of a medical issue where some dogs are born with an inverted vulva. And it can cause urinary tract infections. So making sure that she that everything's working properly downstairs for her is going to be key. When she's outside with you, do you notice her like have urgency to pee, like she pees and nothing comes out, or if it's just a couple of little dribbles?
I think we lost Chris there.
Oh, okay. So I would definitely check with your vet and just have him take a peek downstairs and make sure that all the plumbing's working right. Before thinking that it's a training issue. So many times medical issues can masquerade as behavioral issues or poor training, and making sure that you're dealing with the correct problem is key.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mueller here. Mike Crane joins us, and you count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that makes those discussions possible. Listener support's the largest source of funding for our WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. And we've got a long way to go, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, on our drive here.
Yeah, we have a dollar-for-dollar match. We've just gotten close to $3,000 raised, but it's a $5,000 match. So thanks to some current members, including a member in McFarland, who have offered to match your dollars. So your gift of $100 goes to be $200 for public radio. That's the idea. And now is the time. We're getting close to the end of the hour. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR and the Ideas Network when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about the program you're listening to now. George Malaris has been doing a great job giving advice, I think benefiting a lot of listeners, not only the dog owners, but those who are just listening in and maybe don't even have a dog. How's your life enriched by these programs? How's it unique to public radio? WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift and double that gift with this dollar-for-dollar match.
And today, Alliant Energy is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. We know that's a big problem right now. They'll match every dollar raised through the Food Bank Thank You Gift at up to $5,000. So this drive, you can provide hunger relief in your area and support WPR. So ask for one of the Food Bank Thank You Gifts.
Yeah, thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we're counting on it right now because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000, still $2,000 plus to raise, and that's in effect right now, so it's a great time to donate. Current members, including a member in McFarland, will double every dollar you give. Double the impact right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
However you choose to give, thank you so much. Your support's powerful, and today there's still something more you can do to help encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
Yep, we'd love to hear if you spread the love. Tell your friends and family that you support WPR. You're feeling great about it when you do it, right? And you might inspire them to do the same. It's really easy, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match, we don't want to lose this dollar-for-dollar match. We're still money there. Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And don't forget, ask for that food bank thank you gift, up to 15,000 meals with the help of Alliant Energy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Coming up to the top of the hour with still a minute or two to go for you to give your contribution and double the amount you give. Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We'll be back with George Millar after this look at the news. But if you haven't given, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Talking about training your dog on the show today, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is George Millara, a certified professional trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. He's trained dogs for over 20 years, and it's great to have him with us. And George, you have a live Facebook training session today at, I think, at 3 o'clock. Could you talk about that for
a minute? I do. Thank you. Thanks for the shameless plug. So my sister, who is also a dog trainer, and we are hosting a Facebook Live. You can find us on Facebook. My sister's hosting the event. It's called Grace Dog Training and Behavior. We'll be live on Tuesday today at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and we will be talking all things dog. Be warned, this is not going to be G-rated. We're going to have some fun with this one and just talk off the cuff and have a great discussion about dogs.
And again, the title of it is?
Facebook Live with Anna and George.
It's Facebook
A-N-A
Live.
And my name, J-O-R-G-E.
Facebook Live with Anna and George. Okay. And that's at 3 o'clock our time. All right. Well,
thank you.
In the meantime, Valerie in Green Bay has a question for you. Valerie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Valerie.
Oh, Valerie's not ready. So let's go to Amelia in Ripon. Amelia, hi.
Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Larry. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a four-year-old mutt. His name's Burr, and he... About a year after I got him, started doing this weird thing that he does when he knows that I'm leaving the house. He starts kind of shaking and shivering and looking kind of pathetic. And sometimes he does it for no reason. And I'm just wondering, I try not to give him too much attention. I try not to enable it. But I'm just wondering if you have any advice on how I can kind of snap him out of doing that.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a mild case of separation anxiety. And this is something that I spoke about on a previous show with Larry, where
when we leave the house, our dogs get spooked. But this is actually going to be what I'm calling the second pandemic, when everybody goes back to work and the dogs are left home alone. So a few of the things that I like to do for dogs that are struggling with a little bit of separation anxiety, and this works for mild separation anxiety, is to give Burr something yummy, a stuffed Kong with really tasty things inside, a bully stick or some sort of chewy. So you give it to him right before you leave, and then you leave the house for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then you come back in and you take it away. Sit down, watch some TV, hang out for 20, 30 minutes, and then do it again. The whole purpose of this is for Burr to start viewing you as a punishment. I said that right. He's going to view you as a punishment, because every time you come in, you take away his tasty thing. So what he's going to say in his head, he's like, would you just leave, please? So what happens is, the more you do this, the better he's going to feel about you leaving, because he only gets this yummy thing when you're gone. So I call it the Jedi mind trick. The other premise of this is also, like, before you leave the house, is you can, like, scatter some kibble on the floor that he can go scavenge, and, you know, walking around like a little truffle pig looking for his little vittles. The whole premise is giving him something to do when you're not home. And there's a countless of things you can do. I've gone as far as smearing peanut butter on the front of my refrigerator, or leaving toys around with food items in it, so that he can sort of explore the house and have something to do when you leave. But it's also pairing the idea that when you leave, something really good is going to happen.
Makes good sense. Good luck, Amelia. Appreciate your call. Scott in Windsor, it's your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. George, and I love the show. I just want to put in a plug. And, George, I'm not trying to take money out of you or your sister's pocket or anything. But there's a wonderful private Facebook group called Dog Training Advice and Support. And it's not hard to get into. They let me in. You have to explain your situation and what you have as far as your dog behavior issues. But it's staffed and moderated by a group of behavioralists. And they provide just such wonderful and thorough advice from everything from crate training to separation anxiety to just it's wonderful. And it's all there at your disposal in 24/7.
Oh, are you familiar with that site?
Not that one particularly, but there is a lot of wonderful resources on Facebook and other places. But what I will mention is, you know, like I always say, let the buyer beware. Making sure that the advice you're getting is sound advice from trainers that use positive reinforcement techniques. You know, there are people out there that don't know anything about dog training, so they just take the advice from any quote-unquote professional. And those professionals could be recommending administering unsafe or practices that can be used that are fearful that cause fear in the dog, or are punishment based trainers. But yes, I totally agree. There is some really wonderful wonderful trainers out there that dedicate their time to helping helping families help their dogs become better dogs. Yeah, there's a lot of great resources, but do a little bit of homework and make sure that you know the advice that you're getting is sound advice.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
All right, I've got actually two questions for you real quick. In between the dogs and the dog and my kids, I'm losing my hair. But I got a black lab. He's like 2 years old. We rescued him from the South. I got him as a puppy. And I think the coolest thing is when you can let your dog go and he sits by you. Not him. He takes off and he will not come back. That's my first question, is how to get past that. And the other quick question I got for you is he'll chew on his hind leg or his hind quarter. And he doesn't like cut the skin or anything. It's just all full of spit and stuff. And he just chews and chews and chews. And yeah, okay. Sure, you don't want a black lab or what?
All right, a couple of things there, George.
Yeah. So the running away is if you think about a lot of times when we have our pet dogs, so many behaviors happen when they're running away from you. So the first thing I would do is I'd invest in a 25-foot line. It's like a long static line. I don't recommend retractable leashes for this. I really don't. The only place for a retractable leash is in the garbage, in my opinion. But the 25-foot line will give your pup the freedom that it wants, but then you're going to start working on recalls. One of my favorite games to work on recalls, even in the house, and having your dog come to you or stay in the vicinity, is to reward him anytime he comes to you. So let's say you're in the refrigerator and your dog comes over hearing, you know, he heard a cellophane from a cheese wrapper. Give him a little piece of cheese. Teach him that every time he comes to you, good things are going to happen. And by having that 25-foot line outside, it's going to give you that safety net to start practicing the recalls without him being able to go and run away. Some dogs are just noses with paws, and they just pick up a scent and they just go. And it might not be that he's trying to run away from you and your family. It's just that he picks up on a smell and wants to go explore and really go and explore his surroundings. So taking him for long walks and giving him the opportunity to sniff outside of your property is another great enrichment tool. By letting him sniff, you're sort of letting him process all the smells. And if there are other dogs in the neighborhood, they can send, I call them P-mail. They can send P-mail to one another. And it's not just about having him on your property. He wants to go see what else is out there. So by taking him for longer walks, you're letting him explore in an appropriate way. And then working on the recalls on your property is also going to be key. Now, talking about the back leg chewing, dogs will do paw and leg chewing for different reasons. And I'd probably kick that over to your veterinarian. It could be a joint pain, or it could be from a broken or a fissure in their nail. It could be a variety of things. If you notice any redness between their paws, it could be allergies. The number of medical reasons that he could be chewing on his leg are pretty big. So I pop in and check with your vet where he can manipulate that ankle or leg to see if there's any discomfort or any arthritis. That would be my first step, is rule out anything medical and see what happens from there.
Makes good sense. Nick, good luck. Thank you. Linda in Sheboygan, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. We have a 9-year-old Aussie Doodle, Australian Shepherd Poodle mix, and he loves, it's his duty to herd my husband to the point where if he goes from one room to the other, he follows and will nip his leg. And it's a problem. He has to control, and he doesn't do it to me, but he does it to my husband.
Great question. Sort of like, you can take the monkey out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the monkey. Selective breeding has enabled us to have all these fun and interesting breeds, and breeds with a purpose, and breeds that are supposed to have jobs. And we have slowly taken away their jobs. So a lot of dogs collect unemployment by doing the thing that drives their spirit and soul on inappropriate items. I've seen this with Aussies and any herding dog that will herd the children or herd family members. So the first step is to remember, always teach what is yes. So in those moments where your husband is walking past and your pup does not herd your husband, I would make sure to deliver a reward for just not doing anything. Sometimes the absence of behavior is truly the behavior we want. So rewarding your pup when he doesn't herd your husband is part of the equation here. Now, the second part is when he does choose to herd your husband or nip at his ankles or legs, is to deliver some sort of consequence. Now, the consequences I love to use are timeouts. And that means just, taking your pup by the collar and putting him in a closed room. If you really want to make the punishment even worse, is while your dog is in timeout, go into the cheese drawer and eat a little bit of cheese, so that when your pup comes out of timeout, they really feel like they missed something because of the lingering smell in the air. The idea here is that we want to make sure that, again, we're teaching what is yes first. So when your pup does not herd your dog, you want to make sure you're rewarding him. And when he does herd your husband, you're delivering some sort of consequence. What you'll start to notice is that your pup is going to make a choice. Every time I herd dad, I get in trouble. So I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to lay in my bed instead. and then you'll have even more behaviors that you can reward. I hope
very
that
good.
Helps.
Yeah, good luck, Linda. Thanks very much for calling. Esther in Gray Lake, Illinois, your turn. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My question is, I have a 10-month-old, still a puppy, so I could ask you about a million questions on behaviors and training, but I'll spare you. You were mentioning a lot about treats, and I heard you talk or mention bully sticks. And my dog loves, loves, loves the bully sticks, and I have given them to him quite a few times, but I backed off on that. And I'm looking for your opinion on the safety, because I've heard that when they get a little bit short, they present a choking hazard.
Oh.
Yes, absolutely. Anything that your dog is chewing on not only should be inspected regularly for safety, but also when it gets too small. So if you ever have that inclination, then pick it up and you sort of look at it and say, oh, this is getting a little small. Get rid of it. Because if you're having doubts about whether your dog can consume it safely, I think that says a lot. So yeah. They make this really terrific contraption that it's like a blue disc that has a little screw on it. So you put the bully stick through this hole, and the contraption closes down onto the bully stick when you screw it down, so that however small the bully stick gets, the dog can't finish it because it's held in this contraption. And that's a really great way to sort of prevent your dog from making the bully stick too small and possibly chewing it down to the point of them choking or causing a medical issue due to how small it is. That's a great question, but yeah, always monitor your dogs.
Esther, thank you so much for calling. And George, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you. George Molera is thank you so much. A certified professional dog trainer. He owns Divine Canine in Madison. And don't forget that live Facebook training session today at 3:00. And don't forget about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Mike Crane joins us again. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussion, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
And what a fun program. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've already renewed or you're making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so, so much. Listeners who renew and the monthly sustainers are really the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy this program and also, well, Chapter a Day is coming up next. Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Says You. Many others you've come to rely on.
And WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support this wonderful mix of shows on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I really like the fact that the drive can provide hunger relief in your area. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
And you can join in today. Alliant Energy is partnering with us, so they will match every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts up to 15,000 meals. Increase your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, it makes the driving, the working, the cooking a different experience, and I think a much better experience.
And your support to WPR makes it possible, and it can turn ordinary activities into extraordinary ones. Your life is better with WPR in it. I know, because you tell us that all the time. So give us some help right now making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station. It's the one that maybe wakes you up in the morning. It rides with you on your commute, keeps you company during the course of the day.
And the beauty of WPR is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. A lot of first-time donors like to give $100 or $10 a month. You pick the amount that's right for you.
And your gift, along with the donations from many other listeners, add up to WPR's largest source of funding. So join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
I easily spend a dollar a day on coffee, even if I buy cheap coffee.
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
Easily gum.
Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are a part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you missed that information, you can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so, so, so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Thanks for spending time with us. We know that your time is valuable. And that's one of the reasons we want to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio giving takes just a few minutes. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a few minutes to support the station you count on. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe it's $100 a month, $200 a month, whatever is right for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on takeout, for example. Things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You may have noticed we always ask you to give the amount that's right for you. And if it's helpful to use a formula, here's one way to look at it. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that works out to $10 a month. If that math adds up to you, make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make that decision to support WPR financially. It's simple as that. We're listener supported, and that means your support is crucial. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And we have just a couple of more calls to go to reach our goal for this time period. So why not do it right now? And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar up to $5,000. So ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We have to go away now, but I want to thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, please do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now.